Well, hello, friends. This is Mark. Welcome to the Imago Nutrition Podcast, the podcast where we answer your questions and give you practical nutrition strategies to help you and your family flourish. It is just me today, and I have a question from an existing client that I wanted to take a little bit of time to unpack with you on the podcast because I thought it was a terrific question. It's a very foundational question, particularly in a weight loss environment. And so if you or someone you know struggles with hunger, we all have hunger. If you struggle with hunger and or the desire to overeat, again, particularly in a weight loss phase, but it doesn't have to be contained to just a weight loss phase. This is going to be, I hope, an incredibly helpful episode for you. And so we will take a look at that question. I think I've got 8 bullets on answering this question. And speaking of questions, if you have a question, we would love to hear from you. You can submit your question to us on the website, which is Imago Nutrition, imagonutrition.com/podcast. So go to imagonutrition.com/podcast and scroll down just a bit. You'll see a form there that says if you've got a question, you can just fill that out and you can send that to us and we will consider it as a topic for a future episode. And so with that, a little backdrop, working with a client who has recently recommitted herself to the process. And so she's been working with me for a little bit of time and had some illnesses, had some family things come up, had some real life happen, as we say, and that's totally normal. And she recently decided that she was really wanting to recommit to the process, the plan that we had laid out. And so always love when that happens. 80% of the battle is just getting back on the horse when you've been knocked off. And so that's such a huge win in and of itself. And so she came back to me with a question and she said, Mark, I'm recommitted. I'm excited. I know I need to be disciplined, not just motivated. And so one of the things that she was experiencing was, but how do I manage hunger and reduce the desire to overeat? And so how do I manage hunger and reduce the desire to overeat? Now, this is a terrific question. And so as I said, I've got 8 things for you to do. There are more, but let's talk about 8 ways to reduce or manage hunger. Again, this is in the context of a weight loss phase, but this is certainly applicable outside of losing weight, just in life in general. And so I've got 8, and these are not even just based off my experience of 15 years of helping people with nutrition strategies. These are rooted in science. And so all of these recommendations have their roots in peer-reviewed research. And so I've got 8 for you. There's definitely more ways. There's lots of techniques, lots of strategies. But in a given episode, let's talk about 8. And as I've said before, I think when we give you some of these lists, don't be overwhelmed by the totality of them. Don't think, oh, here's the 8 things I need to do. Start focusing on one at a time. Okay. And so as we go through these, don't think it's like, I got to write all 8 down. I got to master all 8 or I'm not going to be able to make any progress in this area. That's not the case. It's to begin with number 1. And once you master number 1, focus on number 2. And once you've mastered number 2, you can add on number 3, et cetera, et cetera. So with that, let's take a look at 8 ways to manage hunger and or reduce the urge to overeat. Okay. I'll go through these pretty quickly. But again, if you have any questions about these, any considerations in your personal context, feel free to reach out to us. You can head over to imagonutrition.com/contact. If you struggle with this, feel free to reach out and see if we can help. We always love helping folks through these strategies to get you to a more optimal place in your health. So with that said, all right, number 1 way to reduce hunger and or manage the desire to overeat. Number 1, this may surprise you, is to eat enough calories. It shouldn't surprise us, but it often does. It's almost the most basic way to manage hunger is to ensure that you are eating enough calories, okay? So here's the deal. Modern Western diet culture slams people into a framework that says eat as few calories as possible for as short amount of time as possible to get to some generally arbitrary goal. So they're promising you 10 pounds of weight loss in a month. Eat as few as possible to do that. Crank up your cardio. Be miserable. At least it'll be over in 30 days, okay? This is why a lot of women that I work with are coming out of or have at some point dabbled in some atrocious 1200 calorie diet. By the way, 1200 calories is about the recommended intake for a toddler, not for an adult. And so, and men, I see men coming out of 1600 calorie diets, which is way below where they should be, even if they're attempting to lose weight. So number one is to ensure that you're eating enough calories. Now, I can't say exactly what that is for you. Again, reach out to us if you have questions. This is hyper individualized. So even the fact that these diets give one number to all men or one number to all women shows you how inadequate they are in their intelligence. And so this has to be individualized to you. I eat different number of calories than you should. You should eat different calories, a different amount of calories from your friends, from your family. It needs to be individualized. But suffice it to say, the paradigm shift that needs to take place is that you, even in a weight loss context, which this question is born from, you want to be eating as many calories as possible while still achieving your goals. Okay. And then we can talk about what those goals are. We can talk about a healthy way to approach them. But in sum, you should be looking at, if you're in a weight loss phase, losing somewhere between half a pound to a pound, maybe a pound and a half, depending on body composition, per week. Now, some people say, well, that's really slow. It's not actually. It's very healthy. And so, and what that allows you to do is to consume more calories steadily throughout a weight loss process, as opposed to drastically reducing your calories, being super hungry, being super miserable, and then finding that you end up binging on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, and you have to start all over again on Monday because it was so miserable last week you decided to do it again. Okay. So anyway, all that's to say, apart from being able to give you a number, because I can't, I have to speak with you individually in order to know what, quote, enough calories is for your goals and for your context. Just know that in general, the weight loss process should be consuming as many calories as possible while still achieving a reasonable goal over the course of time. And so the number one way to manage hunger is to make sure you're just feeding yourself enough calories. Okay. All right. Let's take a look at number two. Let's get a little more specific within those calories now. Number two would be to eat an optimal amount of protein. Now, this is not bro science. This is not about becoming a meathead or a bodybuilder. Protein is incredibly important. I could do 5 episodes on the importance of protein. Maybe at some point I will. Just know that this goes down to a cellular level within your body. Protein is found in virtually every tissue, virtually every body part, all the way into your organs, into even your bone. Protein is incredibly important. It plays a role in things like immunity, blood clotting, even hormone and enzyme production. So it's incredibly important, along with, of course, yes, building and maintaining healthy muscle. But what another benefit, even on top of those, is that protein is highly satiating. What I mean by that is it makes you feel full. Okay. And that is key if you're trying to manage hunger and or overeating or the desire to overeat. So eating an optimal amount of protein is incredibly important, not just for all the physiological reasons, but for the very practical reasons that it keeps you full. And that's one of the very practical, again, benefits of optimal protein. Now, you may say, what is optimal protein? Again, that depends on you, individual factors. That depends on your goals. But in general, research has shown, I'll give you one example. I've got at least 8 studies cited on an article on our website about this. In general, for a weight loss phase, what research shows us is that about 25 to 30% of your total calories should come from protein in terms of being optimal for that weight loss process. And why is that? One, because protein is super important as a macronutrient, but two, it just keeps you full. Okay. So number one, eat enough calories. Number two, eat optimal amounts of protein. If you're losing weight and you know how many calories you should be consuming optimally, just know that in general, about 25 to 30% of those should come from protein. You will start to see that you can sometimes be more full on fewer calories. In fact, that's almost always the case. You can be more full on fewer calories when you're hitting optimal protein. Okay. Along the lines of optimal protein, you also want to eat an optimal amount of fiber. Okay. So fiber is a carbohydrate, passes through the body undigested. We've done some episodes and articles on the importance of fiber. But suffice it to say, apart from the many, many benefits It has to do with feeding good bacteria, digestive processes, reducing the risk of colorectal cancer, reducing the risk of heart disease, which is the number one cause of death in Americans and in people around the world. Again, like protein, has all these amazing benefits, and just very practically, it's also very highly satiating. So it keeps you full. So imagine if you're eating enough calories, you're eating optimal protein, which is keeps you full, and you're eating optimal fiber, which keeps you full. You can see how suddenly your body is actually going to feel better on fewer calories, perhaps, than it does on more, if you are not optimizing some of these nutrients within that calorie intake. So if you're looking for some numbers, I do have some numbers because the USDA gives us guidelines on this. And so if you are a male and you're wondering, okay, well, then how much fiber should I have? If you are a male like me, currently under the age of 50, you want to target 31 to 34 grams of fiber per day. People say, well, how do I know if I get that? Whip out a free calorie counting app, start logging your food, and just watch your fiber intake and track it over a couple days, a couple weeks, see where you're at, and then move the needle accordingly. Okay, so if you're a male under the age of 50, like myself, you need 31 to 34 grams of protein per day. Okay, if you are a male over the age of 51, you're going to target 28 grams a day. Okay, now if you're a female under the age of 50, you want to target 25 to 28 grams of fiber per day. And if you are a female over the age of 51 or 51 or older, you want to target 22 grams daily. Okay, so eat enough calories, number one. Eat optimal protein, number two. Eat optimal fiber, number three. By the way, we've got a whole article on how much fiber should you eat. You can take a look at that in the article section on our website. We also list these numbers that you should target. We also give you a list of foods high in fiber so you can start to optimize some of those foods or build those foods into your nutrition regimen to help you get to those targets. Okay, so take a look at the article section, completely free, obviously, on the website. Read through that and start just slowly start working your way up on fiber intake. And that will help, again, manage hunger and the desire to overeat. Okay. Number four, drink optimal water. One of the many, 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 many benefits of water is that it acts as an appetite control agent. We've seen this in research. And so hitting optimal water is a foundational piece of managing hunger and reducing the desire to overeat. So if you're a male, you're like, all right, what's my number? Your number is 125 ounces per the literature. That's basically a gallon. A gallon is 128 ounces. And so let's just call it a gallon. Okay. Technically the number is 125 or more based off activity. Okay. And females, 91 ounces is what you are targeting. Now, this is one of my favorite things just from a gang. So I've been doing this for 15 years. And one of my favorite things to get is, you know, a week after people start optimizing their water, they come to me, I guess what they say, like, Mark, I'm going to the bathroom all the time. Okay. Two things. Number one, your body will adjust. Okay. So just know that over time it will adjust. And so while you may be going to the bathroom more frequently, that may slow over time. But then one of the things I also hear is they say it, you know, folks will come back and say, all right, Mark, I'm peeing way too much. And my response is, how do you know you were peeing enough before? Okay. Because in general, as a culture, we're dehydrated. So I would not use that as your standard of going to the bathroom is, well, now I'm peeing too much. Too much assumes you were peeing a normal amount before. And generally, we're not actually very well hydrated. And so just allow time for your body to adjust to that. Again, if you're a male, hit 125 ounces a day. It's one of the simplest things you can start, by the way. This is just a really great way to start, is just start with water tomorrow. Try hitting 125 ounces. Try hitting 91 ounces if you're a female. And that will just watch how that starts to change. Because a lot of times when we're reaching for food, we're reaching for carbohydrates for many reasons. One, for energy, but also for the water that comes with carbohydrates, right? So for every gram of carbohydrate, roughly, it comes with 2 to 3 grams of water. And so a lot of times our body is reaching, yes, for food because calories are energy. We'll talk about that later. But also because specifically with carbohydrates, it's actually seeking hydration. And so it's a lot of times reaching for carbohydrates because it has not been given proper hydration. So hit those numbers, hit 125 if you're a male, hit 91 ounces if you're a female, and watch what happens. Okay. So number one, eat enough calories. Number two, eat optimal protein. Number three, eat optimal fiber. Number four, drink optimal water. Okay. Now, number five, within that nutrition space, keep in mind that you want to focus on nutrient dense foods. Okay. So what are nutrient dense foods? Nutrient, as it may obviously B, is foods that are dense in nutrients, right? And so what happens is what we've seen is that foods that are high in nutrients, a wide array of nutrients, and I'll talk a little bit about some categories here in a second, is that they have a higher what's known as thermic effect of food. And so what happens is that your body actually raises its metabolism because it is grinding through all these really terrific nutrients to break them down and get them into your system for use. And so what happens is that nutrient dense foods tend to be higher in volume in terms of like literal size, lower in energy or lower in calories, and higher in nutrients. And so that's a beautiful thing that you can be more full on better food at lower calorie ranges. And so what are some categories that we usually talk about when we talk about, okay, well, what do you mean by nutrient dense foods? There's generally four walls that Danielle and I reference. And that is number one, lean meat and dairy. Number two, fruits and veggies. Number three, whole grains. Number four, nuts and seeds. Okay. So those in general are categories that are nutrient dense foods that as you begin to prefer more and more of those, your body takes longer to break them down, raising your metabolism, which is really cool, and keeping you fuller longer. Okay. So if you need a resource on that, head over to imagonutrition.com/free, F-R-E-E, imagonutrition.com/free. We have what's called a starter grocery list. It's free. Just download the starter grocery list. And what you are going to see is that we give you a grocery list that breaks it down by how you would shop. So pantry and freezer and meat, seafood, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to give you a look at some of the most widely accessible nutrient dense foods on the planet within kind of a Western context. Okay. So number five, after you've eaten enough calories, optimize your protein, optimize your fiber, you're drinking optimal water, focus on nutrient dense foods, and that will help you manage hunger and the desire to overeat as well. Okay. Number six, a little bit more to say here on this one. I'll try to get through it fairly swiftly. Okay. This is a big topic. I want to do a bit of justice to it, but certainly not take too long. Number six would be to practice mindful eating. And I know Danielle has referenced this on a previous episode as well. At some point, she and I are going to get together and go through just an entire piece on mindful eating because there's a lot to it. However, I'll do two things. One, I will say, first of all, ask yourself very practically, is this physical hunger? Is this a hunger signal that is being sent physiologically from my body because it is low on calories or low on nutrients? Or is it a psychological hunger? Okay. Just asking yourself that question will start to create a lot of clarity, I think, and it will start to build some insights and some introspection into your habits. But one, is this a physical hunger or is it a psychological hunger? Okay, so asking that is the beginning of mindful eating. And of course, your response to that question and the answer to that question and what you do with that question has a lot of implication for many things, which again, I think we're going to unpack in a coming episode here pretty soon. But number one, I would say practice mindful eating by saying, is this physical hunger? If so, great, I need to eat something. If it's simply a psychological hunger, you may not need to run to the fridge just yet. But let's say it is physical hunger. You're hungry. You're going to sit down. You're going to have a meal. Let's talk about some practical ways to think about mindful eating. So what I do is I do what's known as a one meal example. Let's just take a look at one meal and several techniques. I think I might have like eight techniques within one meal to think about. Huh, that's kind of a list of eights. I got eight bullets, so I've got eight within this one. Fun. And so let's take a look at one meal example. And what does it mean to practice mindful eating? First thing I would say is as you're sitting down with your meal, okay, you made your meal, you're sitting down. Notice I'm not defining what that is. Could be almost anything. First thing I would say is drink a glass of water, like an entire glass of water, 8, 12, 14 ounces, whatever the cup is at your house. Drink an entire glass of water before you eat, okay? That will start to, again, if water acts as an appetite control agent, we're going to set the tone for this meal with a bit of a hydrated injection, if you will. Okay, so number one, drink a glass of water before the meal. Shoot, if you can drink it 5-10 minutes before the meal, great. You know, but if you're in a pinch, you're sitting down, drink an entire glass of water and then fill that glass back up. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take one bite And we're going to chew this bite ridiculously thoroughly. Okay. And I actually think this method is not about, I don't want to overeat, so here I have to start chewing really slow and boring, even though I want to eat fat. It's not that. I think this is actually a technique that it actually enables people to appreciate food more. Okay. So chewing each bite slowly and thoroughly, I think actually creates greater appreciation for food, not less. One of my favorite things is to eat sushi. I love sushi. One of my boys and my baby girl is actually obsessed with sushi. My oldest, not so much, not as adventurous right now with foods. But my middle boy and I will go, or sometimes my daughter and I will go to sushi. It's one of my favorite things is to get two rolls and to just eat each one of those very slowly. And sushi is so cool because it's such a mix of cold and warm, crunchy and smooth. There's just so many different textures, so many different flavors. Sushi done well is one of the most complex eating experiences, in my opinion, that you can have. And so all that's to say, if I was to just plow through one of those rolls, I can tell you I would not have nearly the appreciation for the $800 I won, but for the expensive bite that I just took into really good sushi. But just sitting with that bite thoroughly, and doing this with any meal, it doesn't have to be sushi, it could be anything. Just spending time with that bite can be very, very powerful. Okay, I've said too much about that one. So number one, drink water before. Number two, chew each bite thoroughly. Number three, put your utensil down between bites. Okay, that's something we don't do in America. And it kind of messes with you when you start doing it, because then you start noticing other people, if you're in a social environment, that we don't do it. You're like, oh, he's right. Like, we even hold the fork in our hand while grabbing a glass, you know, to drink in between bites. Like, we don't even put the utensil down. But try that. Try putting the utensil down. It starts to set a different tone while you're chewing that bite thoroughly. Just put the utensil down. It starts to slow things down, starts to allow your body, your physiology to catch up. Okay. Number four? Number four would be to drink water in between bites. So you drank a glass of water before, you sat down, you are chewing each bite thoroughly, you're putting your utensil down between each bite, and you're taking a drink of water. You don't have to drink a whole glass, but a nice glug of water in between bites. Watch what that does as it slows down your mind, as it slows down, or not slows down, but it allows for your physiology to start to catch up with your hunger signals. Okay. Number five, take 20 minutes ish. Take about 20 minutes to finish a meal. Now, this is not a strict rule. It's like, if you get to 19 minutes and you're done, the whole thing is a failure, or that if you take 21, you're just taking too long. It's not that, but it's a directional guide to say, take 20 minutes to finish a meal. We've seen in some research that it takes about 20 minutes for the human body to realize that it is satisfied. Okay. And so, well, on that note, this was not in my notes, but I just thought of it, is remember that there's a difference between being full and being satisfied. Okay. In America, we like to eat until we are full. Okay. It's not going well for us. The CDC currently estimates that 69% of Americans are overweight or obese. So eating to be full is not working out well for us. Okay. But one of the best nutrition Jedi mind tricks you can master is, and only you can do this, I can't do it for you, I can't give you the exact formula, the exact food, the timing, anything like that, but is to be aware of the difference between being full and being satisfied. What you want to do is you want to eat until you are no longer hungry, not eat until you are full. Okay. And taking 20 minutes to finish a meal for many people accomplishes just that. Okay. Number six, with the whole theme of 20 minutes, I would say if you get done with that meal, and this was something that came up in my conversation with my current client, she says, well, I'll finish the meal, but man, I just want to go back for more. I say, tell you what, you can, you absolutely can, by the way, if you're within your calorie intake goals for the day, if you're hitting your protein, you're hitting your fiber, you're hitting your water, and you want to have two plates and that works within your numbers, great, do it. I'm by no means saying you can't ever have seconds. That's no way to live. However, if you're looking to be more mindfully, you've just taken 20 minutes to eat a meal, I would challenge you to wait 20 minutes before you go back for seconds. Okay. That's a total of 40. That's no problem. I mean, we'll sit at restaurants for 90 minutes for crying out loud. This is not shocking. This is not crazy. Okay. Wait 20 minutes after the meal, because if your body hasn't caught up that it's satisfied, no longer hungry in the 20 minutes it took to consume the meal, you'd be surprised how often it does when you wait 20 minutes after the meal. Okay. So number seven, I love this one too. Change your environment after a meal, if possible. Okay. Now don't be weird. Okay. Like you're at a restaurant, you guys are going to be hanging out for 2 hours. You're like, 20 minutes is up. I got to go. And you go stand outside. Don't be weird about it. Right. But if you're at home, if you're in a work environment or whatnot, you would be shocked psychologically how we can tell our body that we're done eating just by changing the environment, going to a different room, right? Just leaving. Okay. And along those lines, my last point on this is try going for just a short walk after a meal. Number one, that changes your environment. Number two, you know, if you go for a 10, 20 minute walk, that's one way to accomplish that waiting 20 minutes after a meal. And what it starts to again signal to your body is we are done eating. This signals to your psychology, not only your physiology. We're done. Now begin using the food I've given you to go to work on behalf of your health and your day and your energy, et cetera, et cetera. So you can shift your psychology and your physiology by practicing mindful eating. Okay. So again, number one, eat enough calories. Number two, eat enough protein. Number three, eat an optimal fiber. Number four, drink optimal water. Number five, focus on nutrient dense foods. Number six, practice mindful eating. Okay. Number seven, don't restrict foods. That was a dramatic pause, right? Like, don't restrict the foods you consume. There is not a single food. Again, this is in the context of weight loss, but this is overall health as well. There is not a single food on the planet that you can't have in some way, shape, or form, whether in moderation, right? Or just in cautious consumption from time to time. And there is not a single food you can't have or you must have in order to lose weight, because this is in a weight loss context. No food causes weight gain. Only a positive energy balance on average over time creates weight gain. Okay. And therefore, no food will stop the weight loss process if you're in a negative energy balance on average over time. Okay. The first law of thermodynamics does not care which foods you have. It only cares about energy balance. Now, there's more to nutrition, of course, than energy balance. However, within this question of how do I manage hunger and reduce my desire to overeat, remember that if you're restricting some of your favorite foods, you are likely storing up for a binge on those foods. Okay. And so if you're losing weight and you're saying, well, I'm losing weight, so there's only one day where I get cookies. All you're thinking about all week is cookies. I have a client actually that I worked with. She's no longer a client because I love when I'm fired because someone has reached their goals. She was able to fire me because she crushed her goals in about a year, year and a half. And she had cookies every night while losing a pound per week on average. And I remember her coming to me being like, I cannot believe that I did all these other diets that said I can't have cookies when I could have been having cookies all this time. And you absolutely can. So build in, make sure you're making room for your fun foods within reason, of course, within context, within moderation, right? I'm currently, as of today, the date that I'm recording this, I'm currently in about 8 to 10 week fat loss phase. And I am being diligent to every day sprinkle in some of my fun foods. Now, am I still within my calorie range? Yes. Am I hitting optimal protein? Yes. Am I hitting optimal fiber? Yes. Am I drinking my water? Yes. Am I going on walks? Yes. Am I strength training? Yes. Am I playing soccer on the weekends? Yes. All of these things are yeses, which allow me to also say yes to my fun foods throughout the process. Okay. And so remember that restricting food is often what leads to hunger for those foods, whether physiological or psychological. But it also is one of the reasons that we often end up binging or overeating specifically on those foods and other foods, because we have told ourselves Monday through Friday, I'm on a diet, and Saturday and Sundays, I don't care. Okay. So number seven, don't restrict. And number eight, get quality sleep. There is so much research. I've been blown away in the last couple of years because I did not get optimal sleep for probably a decade. Okay. I come from a military. I was in the military for a while, entrepreneurial stuff, of course, having side businesses, having a full-time job, having kids, having, you know, fitness classes and running different things. And I used to be proud of quote unquote, how much I could get done on as little sleep as possible. And so I prided myself on getting 5 hours of sleep. Okay. The recommendation is 7 to 9 hours of sleep for adults, and we have to take that seriously. And in this context, what we see is that people who chronically or who do not get quality sleep consistently, so they're chronically tired, consume more calories, they overeat, they have higher hunger signals. And I'll tell you this, is what's kind of cool. There's lots of reasons that this goes into it, but, and there's lots of research that shows people that get optimal sleep consume fewer calories, they consume fewer processed foods, et cetera, et cetera. But here's kind of one of the big takeaways for this. So, okay, I'm really tired during the day, but how, I still just need to control my hunger, okay? But think about this. The term calorie is not matter. So when we think of calories, a lot of times in our minds, we picture food, and what we're seeing is matter. But a calorie is a unit of energy, okay? And so when our bodies are chronically tired, we begin to reach for food because calories are energy. And what the body is trying to solve is a lack of energy. And one of the ways that it knows it can do that is by putting energy, which it can't create, can't destroy. So it sources it from food, and we put this food into our body so that it gives us energy. Why? Because we're tired. Okay. It's just a fascinating way that, that this stuff all works together, and where nutrition is at its core so powerful. But sleep is an incredibly potent ingredient in this cocktail of managing hunger and reducing the desire to overeat. And so make sure you're getting quality sleep, and make sure you're getting the right quantity of sleep, which again is about 7 to 9 hours based on your context and situation. Okay. And depending on your goals. But if you're having less than seven, one of the techniques that I teach a lot of clients that struggle in this area is to just begin going to bed 15 minutes earlier. And you got to build in, you know, maybe you've got to not have screen time for 30 minutes prior to that. But slowly, week after week, just maybe back up your bedtime by 15 minutes. Don't think that if you're getting 5 hours right now, you just need to start sleeping seven. What about 5:15? What about 5.5? What about 5 hours and 45, right? Slowly work your way up. Like most things in fitness and nutrition, it's about progressively getting better over time. Okay. So quality sleep is the eighth point in this list that we've seen in the research helps us manage hunger and reduce that desire to overeat. So again, eat enough calories, number one. Number two, eat optimal protein. Number three, eat optimal fiber. Number four, drink optimal water. Number five, focus on nutrient-dense foods. Number six, practice mindful eating. Number seven, don't restrict foods. And number eight, get quality sleep. Right? I hope that makes sense. This was a fun episode for me. I hope you guys really enjoyed it as well. And so if you did, please subscribe and leave us a review. Let us know how we're doing. And if you've got a friend or someone you like to talk about health and fitness with, or fitness and nutrition with, or overall wellness with, do us a favor, send them this episode. We'd love to, of course, help as many people as possible with this free content. That's why we do it. That's why we put in the time and the energy, is to hopefully help people, even if we never meet you. We would love to meet you. We'd love to hear from you. But even if we never hear from you or get to meet you, we hope that this has been helpful. And so if you want to get connected with us on social media, you can follow us. We're on virtually every platform out there at Imago Nutrition. Again, I-M-A-G-O Nutrition. At Imago Nutrition on your favorite social media platforms. And as always, we would like to thank Happy Pill for our theme song, Thinking About Food, because at the Imago Nutrition Podcast, we're always thinking about food.